Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
It may not be what you're eating, but it may be what's eating you as the cause of atherosclerosis. My guest today is Dr. Richard Frink, a cardiologist for his entire career and author of Inflammatory Atherosclerosis. He believes that atherosclerosis is most likely caused by an infectious organism, and we're going to try and figure out which one that is today and what we can do about it. Dr. Frink, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Tell me what you have seen under the microscope when you look at plaque from people that have atherosclerosis. What are the interesting things you see in there that don't belong?
Well, the thing that caught my attention initially was the fact that there were a lot more acute lesions in the coronary arteries than I thought there should be. I've grew up with the idea that there was one ruptured plaque and a blood clot formed, a myocardial infarction formed, and when I began to see more than one and the exposed subendothelial tissue, I had to ask myself, well, why isn't there a thrombus here? Why isn't there some platelet reaction? Why isn't there a white blood clot or something? That's what caught my attention first. And then at virtually all of these ruptured sites, there were concentrations of T cells, the lymphocytes that are involved in the immune system. They are in the adventitia at virtually all of these ruptured sites. I examined 84 hearts, and in those 84 hearts, I found over 200 plaque ruptures. And certainly not all of them were the culprit, so that just told me that this disease was diffusely active in multiple parts of the coronary tree. So that led me to the idea that this might be an infectious disease because of the inflammation and the destructive nature of atherosclerotic disease.
So what happened then? What have we seen? I've read numerous studies that show all sorts of organisms have been found in plaque. Chlamydia pneumonia, CMV, H. pylori, HSV. There are numerous bugs that I don't think belong in our artery walls.
I agree with you. The question is, did they cause any trouble? Or are they kind of a complicating feature? What is their role? I've looked at chlamydia, I've looked at herpes, I've looked at CMV, I've looked at dental organisms in an effort to try to identify them, and I've come up short. So it rests on somebody else's shoulders.
So you are not willing to commit to which organism it is, but if you had to pick one and bet your grandchildren's college savings on one bug, which one would you pick? I think
the predominant evidence at the present time still is chlamydia.
Yes, that is the correct answer. That is the correct answer. It's an interesting organism. It goes quiet for many years. It comes back. It likes lipid. It lives within macrophages. It lives within foam cells. It's the perfect organism, and it's difficult to kill. Yeah. And you get it early in life, and it comes and goes throughout your life. And the reason I think that we have not been successful at eradicating it is because we've started too late. We've tried to kill it after the damage is done, and these arteries are pretty much destroyed from 30 years of a chronic infection.
Yes, you could certainly be right.
So I'm waiting for someone to get rid of the certainly be right part and say, yes, you are absolutely right, and it's time to move the dialogue forward and start once again treating this disease, just like we treat tuberculosis. We don't treat tuberculosis with one drug for a few months and say, okay, you're done. We treat it with three drugs, four drugs for up to a year, and none of the studies looking at chlamydia pneumonia used more than one medication, and they were limited, and they were used in people that were already too old.
Yeah,
I'm ranting, but I want you to say, yes, doctor, you're right.
Well, it's a very interesting organism, and I did a lot of work to try to identify it, and I wasn't able to, I think, because my specimens had been treated with an old concoction of formalin, and that affected the DNA, and I was looking for the DNA of chlamydia and several others, and I just didn't have enough data that could be confirmatory.
Right. So there have been numerous studies since. There have been books published on people going beyond the microscope and using the electron micrograph at many times higher power and seeing these organisms in different stages of their life cycle. And they're the ones that are predominant in the plaque, and they're not in healthy tissue. So
yeah.
I guess the question is, we're both on the same page that this is an infectious disease. You're not willing to call out the organism. But what would you tell your grandson, if he was a cardiology fellow, that he should be doing instead of just putting stents in these diseased arteries?
Well, the message is prevention, doing whatever you can to prevent. And if you could identify the organism early in life, or whether it got transmitted from the mother to the fetus, those would be the place to start looking. And if found, it could be treated in youth, I suppose, and before a person reaches age 30 or 40.
Right. So we know, you know, that soldiers from all of our wars, when they've done autopsies on them, they've found significant atherosclerosis in 18-year-old patients.
Yeah, that's certainly true.
And these are healthy kids. They're not people that are eating Big Macs all day or pouring saturated fat intravenously into their arteries.
That's right.
And these are unique lesions. They're not, you know, if this was a disease caused by cholesterol, then every artery should be damaged by cholesterol, which makes no sense because every artery needs cholesterol to live and to heal.
Yeah.
The paradigm is crazy, and I'm trying to reverse it, and it's very difficult, as you know. I think
you found out what I found out.
I think in 30 years from now, when the current population of physicians have died off, that are so attached to their old ideas, perhaps then we'll have a chance of actually attacking this disease for what it is, an infectious disease, and have someone with the guts to put some money up, like our government or some pharmaceutical company, to do trials with three or four drug combinations in healthy people that actually have disease, which leads me to my next question. What is the best way to identify the disease in a young person without doing an angiogram? And we got 60 seconds to answer.
We don't have any way at the moment of identifying plaques in young people, unfortunately.
All right, we don't have it, so apparently we're going to have to go back to the tool shed and find something to help us figure out who has this disease so we can attack it before it attacks them. Dr. Richard Frink is author of Inflammatory Atherosclerosis and has dedicated his life to this problem. And I'd like to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kess.
I am Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic, reminding everybody not to let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends.